Hello and welcome to There'll Be Film. I'm Nathan Dust Roberts. I'm here with Heidi Regan and Stuart Laws.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And our very special guest, close friend, a one-time foe, a sometimes lover, the brilliant Neil O'Rourke.
Hello.
What's your favourite film?
Can we have an option not to... No, fine, that's fine.
My favourite movie changes so often, so I've got an answer that it's not good for a comedy podcast because it's a very serious movie.
Hit us with it.
The Secret in Their Eyes. It's an Argentinian movie, which makes you sound very, like, you know, well-read and wanky, but it is the biggest budget Argentinian movie of all time.
Mm.
What is it? The Secret in Their Eyes?
Yeah. It's like...
And what's the
secret?
You could
not have sounded like more like just confused by the concept of like smart movies. Like, what is it? You spoke like you were waking up from a coma.
So
like,
all these words are together?
It's the one title.
Wow. And it's based on another film. No.
They made an American. Remade. Yeah, they made an American remake.
Yeah.
And it was panned critically.
I don't know, yeah.
Have you not seen it?
No, I ain't seen it.
You'd love it. It's Would incredible. I? It's like a, it's an incredible thriller. It's
Oh, that's nice. That feels good that Nathan thinks I'd like an incredible film.
You're a thrilling guy.
If I see an incredible thriller, I was like, this Stuart must see this immediately.
I saw the movie before I saw any of Stu's stand-up. Before I saw Stu's stand-up, he'll love that movie.
Yeah. What's it about?
It's a very serious movie. It's like a guy trying to solve an unresolved murder or an unsolved murder from years before, but there's a lot of timeline jumping back.
Isn't an unresolved murder an attempted murder?
Yeah.
I thought I'd get away with it. Resolve that murder. I was
going to
do.
I'm going to have to circle back and resolve that murder.
But it's with recency bias, I think my favorite movie is The Big Lebowski because I rewatched it again last week. Such a fun movie.
Do you know Julianne Moore's in that film?
We just had those trivia in another episode.
Oh, yeah, Julianne Moore was in a movie.
Yeah. Well, we did pretty crazy trivia on this.
And she wears a fake butt in it. So when you think you're seeing that butt, it's not really the butt.
Did you notice that?
In Big Lebowski?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, so it's,
did you see her butt in it?
Well, I thought I did. That was a fakie.
Is it no longer your favourite movie?
Dip down to the Secret in the Rise is back up.
Yeah.
There's honesty in that part. I got nothing.
Because there's back-to-back real butts in that movie.
But it's like more like
real butts.
Big
Requiem for a Dream.
But, oh, sorry.
Sorry, carry on. Sorry, Heidi, I had to step on what you were saying.
I must interrupt you.
All right, we're about 5 minutes in, I reckon, and I've never been a part of a more dizzying conversation.
You are just the people on the cut. You're the third or quarter of the day. I am on a full sugar low.
I've had a lot of Pepsi Max.
I have actual blurred vision. I'm like freaking out. So
and I'm
coming
in the form
hot.
Of my life. I'm in the form of my life. I'm riffing like a champ. It's crazy the stuff I'm coming up with. Do you know what I mean?
You blacked out for 3 minutes.
I have a double nosebleed right now.
Judging from the last, like, judging by what you've all just said, I think Stu's in the most concerning mental state.
Films. This is about films.
What is a film you consider to be the most underrated of all time?
Underrated? Come back to the Coen brothers, who I really like. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Should be on top 10
is
lists.
Is that underrated?
It's,
people like that.
It's seen as one of like the Coen brothers' middling movies.
I think it's mid.
I think it should be like on the top 10 lists
really?
Of all time.
I remember so little of the film. I just remember liking the song they sang on the...
Man of Constant
Song.
Yeah. The soundtrack is so good.
Soundtrack's banging.
There's never been a movie with like a more well-matched soundtrack to movie.
Have you heard of La La Land? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay, it's hard to argue that.
The body movement of, like, George Clooney when he sings the beginning of where he swoops in, lives so much in my brain.
Yeah, there's so many striking visuals in that movie. Yeah, yeah. It's got everything.
Yeah,
Does it live there rent-free? Can you look to camera and say, it lives rent-free?
No. I charge it an extortionate amount.
You are a cruel land baron to that one scene in your head.
And it pays for my little nook in Cornwall.
And unfortunately, I've had to raise the rent due to the cost of living crisis, even though I'm not paying any more mortgage on it.
The other underrated movie is Space Jam. It's got like 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Now we're talking about a movie with a soundtrack that's fitted to the film. Yeah. Space Jam. I've not seen Space Jam since I was probably like 31 years old. No, but since I was a kid. And I think it's good. But I think it's the kind of thing that if you grew up with Space Jam, you'd love it.
Yes.
But if you introduced, like, if you saw that for the first time as an adult, you'd be like, this is trash.
Do you know what they call it in America? It's a different title.
A Royale with Cheese.
Go on.
Space jelly.
Yeah. Wait, was yours a joke?
Yeah.
Then I'm so sorry I had to step on your joke.
It's a pleasure to be stepped on.
Not
everything's kink.
Space jelly is also what Buzz Aldrin called it when he came in space.
No,
that's not the line.
You're not
that
allowed
line.
To take the big five to space.
What do you love about Space Jam so much?
I'm not really. I can't. You put me on the spot there. I just think it deserves more than 40%.
Is it the basketball or the friendship? Or the space?
The Monstars? Lola Rabbit?
I forgot that they were even called Monstars. That's a good name.
There's so much of Space Jam that does live rent free in my house. I am.
You
quite
should
like
start charging.
Philanthropist.
Get yourself a Cornwall nook. It's just a really fun movie. It deserves more than 40%.
Yeah.
It feels like your problem, more than you loving Space Jam, you just have a problem with Rotten Tomatoes.
The question was,
you hate injustice.
But what can you use Rotten Tomatoes to make?
Is it Space Jam? I'm not a chef, but I don't think jam is made out of tomatoes. Agree to disagree?
Agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, more of a chutney.
Space chutney.
Space chutney.
Space chutney. In Cornwall.
Yeah, it is bad. It's not selling well.
No, did you see Space Jam 2?
No.
And you call yourself a fan.
Yeah. I didn't mind Space Jam 2. I sort of just like all of those characters. I love them. I find them a little bit loony. A little bit loony for my taste at times.
Yeah, I find that grating. Calm down. Someone punish this rabbit.
My favorite character is Roadrunner. Absolutely huge fan of Roadrunner.
Because he's always on the go.
Yeah, which is...
I hate Roadrunner.
Yeah, he's a social terrorist.
He's so arrogant.
Yeah, I love that about it.
Yeah, he's the original disruptor.
Yeah. And it's just like Wile E. Coyote is doing everything it can to try and is like desperate to succeed and fails embarrassingly. And then Roadrunner's like, meep, meep. I think that's really, that's great.
Because Roadrunner
is so funny.
Meep, meep gets a laugh from Stu every time.
Every single time. Because it's so...
Mouthful of popcorn.
He never sees it coming.
I'm going to say it. I think Roadrunner's autistic. I think
Roadrunner
cannot read the room in any way.
Because he's such a disgrace.
Meep, meep. And loves repetitive noises like that sort of thing. Yeah.
He's one way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Roadrunner's neurodivergent.
We stand our autistic king. Roadrunner.
Say it into camera.
He lives rent-free.
I can't look the audience directly in the eyes.
So like, and
just like
Wiley,
Roadrunner can't.
And like Wile E. Coyote is the neurotypical like education system.
Yes.
He's like, yeah, trying to put them in a box.
I love that.
I now get it. what is your weirdest cinema going experience?
When I was a teenager, the cinema was like the focal point for social interactions. Mm. So I was going to the cinema a lot. Shout out Real Picture Balancolic.
They do listen.
They do, and I stumbled over the name of my hometown, which is humbling. I don't know why, but me and two friends went to see Time Traveler's Wife. And it was with two
Is that girls. A film or is that just someone in the, in the town?
Yeah, to me and two friends were meeting up with the time traveler's wife to see Space Jam.
I want to know what it's like to see it for the first time again.
Can you get your husband along? We always make this mistake.
But yeah, three of us went, me and two girls. And one of the girls I fancied, fancied in the way only... like a teenager can fancy someone.
Yeah. But ended up you wanted to make her the cinema goer's wife.
Yeah. Do you want to come and see some of this earth jelly?
I'll be honest, I wasn't thinking exactly that, but I guess same ballpark. And I ended up not sitting next to her, but our mutual friend sat between us. And so she sat with her elbows covering both armrests, and the armrest on the other side of me was gone for whatever reason. There was just no armrest there, so I had no armrest. And just as the movie was starting, my French teacher came in. So she was late, so she kind of panicked. And even though it was a very empty cinema, she just took the first seats she saw, and she sat right next to me and with her husband, and she sat down. And I just kind of went, hey, miss. And I saw, she looked at me, and I saw the regret in her eyes.
Oh,
so she
no.
kind of made half a movement to stand up and move, but then realised that that would also be weird. So she just sat down again. Hi, Neil. Good to see you. And so she's there with her husband. There's no armrest between
us. The French teacher's husband.
The French teacher's husband. So, yeah, so we've got the French teacher's husband and the cinema goer's fancy. and then the cinema goer's friend. I got nothing for the last
yeah,
person.
Yeah. Shoulder, yeah. Elbows McGee.
Yeah, elbows McGee.
Yeah, sorry if that's me, if that's like offensive to Irish people, what I just said there.
Well, yeah, so I had to watch The Time Traveller's Wife with no armrests next to my French teacher. And then at one stage, when a sex scene started, I just got like so deflated and defeated by the situation that I went to just kind of, you know, put my head in my hands and lean on the armrest.
Oh, no.
There's no armrest. So as a sex scene starts, I dropped my hand into my French teacher's lap, and like obviously the moment it touched her leg, I just lifted up, and but it's still that's a weird moment.
Oh, she was like, "Ooh la la, voulez-vous coucher avec moi?"
So it sounds to me like you should have gone to county arm arrest.
Is that where you got your phone out and Googled?
Just to, what I Googled was, where is County Armagh? Is it in Northern Ireland or in Ireland? To be like, am I about to drop a sectarian hate crime?
But yeah, I would say accidentally making a pass at my French teacher during the Time Traveller's Wife.
But it did it get you a pass in your French exam?
No, the study got me that.
Sure. Oh. Yeah. The study of touching her in the lap.
Yeah, study of those legs. That is such a horrible feeling, I think, when you really fancy someone and you went to the cinema. Because, especially at that age, because your whole body is just on fire the entire time.
I just want to make it very clear that the person I fancied was my friend sitting over there, not the French teacher sitting right next to me. Just in case any part of that story got missed out.
Sure.
Okay.
Bored of that story.
Sounds like you were burning out your French teacher. That's what I'm trying to say. But I saw Let the Right One In with a girl I was so in love with at the time, and I just didn't watch the film. I couldn't focus. It's like I'm sat here next to Isabella. That's all that matters right now. Yeah. I hope this moment never ends. And she's like, "Do you like the film?" I was like, "I like you."
We at the Real Picture on Mondays. It was like two tickets for a tenner, so you'd always kind of make a bit of a show of who you're partnering up with.
Yeah.
And it was a good way to, like, you know, the girl you fancy being like, "Do you want to partner up?"
Nice. Mm.
And I didn't realize that's what people were doing until years later, because every week I would just go and partner up with my best friend Ken Long. And the two of us were not doing well with women for a while.
Now we're going to go on to the first round, which is the fill in the blanks round, where I give you a piece of film trivia and you fill in the blanks. Vinnie Jones' first day on Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels was notable because he blank.
I think he went and made sure he punched the toughest person on set and knocked them out.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, close, but I was actually on that set. And he did punch me, but he didn't knock me out. And he never will.
Isn't it weird that happens every single time we have a new guest on this podcast?
We punch them out. Yeah. They punch
out the toughest one of us.
Yeah.
Is it that he he was a football player, and that's not a traditional route into professional acting.
Yeah, no one's ever mentioned that.
The director Guy Ritchie said, "Everyone, this is notable for this reason."
And I just want to bring it up again every day.
Vinnie Jones is standing in full football uniform doing keepy uppy.
But of course, Vinnie Jones's mother was Felicity Jones, so a bit of a nepo baby.
And you might say, why is she younger than Vinnie Jones? Because she's married to a little man we might know as the time traveller.
I think it does require
her to travel through time.
I was going to say, I think it does require her to travel through. If she's just the time.
He's not going alone. I mean, he famously is in the film.
But this is real life.
This is real life, Neil.
Yeah, this isn't a movie.
There's a lot they got wrong in that film.
Did he grab, like, Gazza's balls?
Gazza's
also on set.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know how Gazza turned up to Raoul Moat, sort of having a freak out with, like, a fishing rod and some chicken? Like, I'm going to sort it out. He knew that Guy Ritchie was stressed about making his first feature. So turned up with a fishing rod and some chicken.
Chill, guys.
Chill, guys. Everything.
Yeah. And Vinnie Jones immediately just grabbed him by the balls and just said, "Get out of here."
That is actually Jones correct.
Get out of here.
Vinnie, I heard you're worried. Couldn't do it. No.
Yo, he...
That's a wrap.
I'm going to reference Nathan's Geordie accent for the rest of the episode, so he has to keep it in.
Vinny did like that football. Do you remember he did a
Mean Machine?
Is that that's another movie? Is it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know he did that.
Oh right.
But he did a video for football's hardest men.
Yes.
And he gave advice on how to be
a hard man
in football and kind of encouraged people.
I was a consultant on that.
You were consulting that one as well.
Yeah. And he tried to knock him out and he didn't win.
You would have been, I'm guessing this would have been late 90s, so I'm putting you at about 10 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up in Luton Town FC.
You grew up in Luton Town FC.
Almost possible, isn't it? Because there is to get into the stadium of Luton Town, you have to walk between two houses.
Is that stadium?
Yeah.
One of them's my house.
Yeah. He grew up in Luton Town FC.
You saw a little soot-faced boy standing outside, that was me.
So we were talking about Vinnie Jones's video series, The Hardest Nut. What is the hardest nut for you?
Ooh. All my brain is doing right now
is
cogs are turning. I was like, how can I work this around to come somehow?
What a task I have before me.
Like Oppenheimer. I must bring this around to come somehow.
Is it the nut you do at a funeral?
Funeral nut.
The stuff of Shakespeare.
Ashes to ashes.
I know why you booked me. You want me to do
Robert Downey Jr. is trying to work out what Oppenheimer and Albert Einstein were talking about by the river, and it was just that. What did he tell him? Albert Einstein goes, "It's the toughest nut at the funeral."
He told him how to nut at a funeral.
So the answer is, on the first day of filming, Vinnie Jones had just been released from police custody because he had been arrested for beating up his neighbour. Who's the neighbour? Me.
He was on the other house across the way.
You were giving him too much consulting.
I was the hardest nut. Round two is the big pitch, where we do a sequel to a famous movie which should never have a sequel. I'm the studio exec, and you're going to be pitching to me, and I'm going to give you notes as you go along. We're going to be pitching a sequel to the Oscar-winning The King's Speech.
Yes.
Mm. Okay, so I'm taking the lead on this, apparently.
You've been sitting here for 15 minutes.
You came to us, and you said, "I need some face men."
He didn't say face to me. Offended now what you wanted me in. He said, "We need some DNA on this King's Speech." He said, "Just sit there and look pretty."
No, it is very simple. It takes place 50 years after the original King's Speech, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is the year of?
TNA.
The Rabbit.
1989.
Oh, because the war.
He had to do a speech about the war.
So this one is about the Berlin Wall coming down.
It is.
So and another big history situation, another big speech.
We tear down this wall.
But it's about this time, crucially, the biggest king of that time, David
Elvis.
Hasselhoff.
Oh, yes, correct.
Whose song went huge in Germany and was, like people say, was a part of uniting the two sides of Germany. And, of course, he was the king of TV at that time as Baywatch was getting started.
Which was the TNA section you were asking.
Knight Rider, of course, being he was in the middle of the night, rode in to Berlin and performed on top of that crumbling wall. But, of course, he had a big speech, the song... Get it, jump in my car.
Is that what the song was?
I think it was.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I'll just point out, it's mad that you guys thought I was going to be the lead on this.
I'm just saying what you were about to say. We were stumbling around because of what you'd said to Heidi before.
Yeah. So, Neil, what were you telling us is the kind of emotional journey
yes,
that David
which is
Hasselhoff
important to you.
Goes, yeah, you love that.
Yeah, so David Hasselhoff, all he's ever wanted in life, fame, and he's finally got it with his Baywatch.
Yeah,
the end. But no,
you famously want to start a film with a character having already achieved everything they've already won.
Yeah, but he's now feeling lost, and he's thinking that's not everything. There's more to life than TNA.
I want to unite Germany.
Yeah. Why can't I get that out of my head?
Enough TNA. Time to think about W and E. West and East Germany.
Yeah. Or Willys and even
more Willys.
Tagline.
and the reason, look, one of the women on Baywatch was from Germany.
Yes.
And that's how he got interested in
Yeah, just name her.
Yeah.
Frau Brown,
of course.
Frau Brown.
Yeah.
I remember her on all the posters.
Yeah,
Frau Brown.
Yeah, I remember. It
we
was all very,
parents called her Frau.
Very Californian-looking women, and then Frau Brown.
And Entertainment Tonight updates as being like, and what's in store for Frau Brown?
In her big lederhosen with her hair in plaits and curls around the side.
Yeah.
Achtung! You must not splash when you're swimming.
Yeah, which is why Baywatch did jig its cast after jiggling its cast for quite a while.
Ich bin Frau Brown.
So Frau Brown only lasted the first series, but was obviously a huge part of Hasselhoff's life.
Yes.
But Hasselhoff couldn't talk if Frau Brown wasn't nearby. Sort of really stuttered.
He couldn't talk German, certainly.
Yeah. With Frau Brown nearby, could suddenly speak fluent German. Meine Meerschweinchen mit mehr, s'il vous plaît. That sort of thing.
Ich tanze mit Frau Braun.
S'il vous plaît.
Yeah, so he has always wanted fame. He's got fame. He realizes he's unhappy. He needs to unite Germany if he will achieve pure Hasselhoff happiness.
Yeah.
And also to impress his love interest,
Frau Brown.
Mm.
Yeah. And that is the king's
speech that he gives.
And I'll
but how does he learn to, who teaches him to deliver the speech?
Frau Brown.
Oh, so Frau Brown's...
I'm sorry that we've got a woman in this one.
I'm sorry that a man's 90s. Learning from a woman. I know Nathan doesn't like it when a man learns from the TNA. but you know at the end of King's speech where the teacher goes like, you still struggle with the W's? And the king goes... Well, I had to throw in a few so they know it's me. But I think David Hasselhoff will have to do one at the end as well when he does his big speech. Germany.
He'll have one that he struggles with.
Yeah, and she'll be like, you struggle a little bit with...
the umlauts.
The umlauts. I feel there's something... I feel I've done the setup for the joke. Oh, and I'm waiting for
you just passed it off. So yeah, I thought you were going to finish it.
Wait, that's a workshop. That's an IKEA joke.
But I like that because that's what makes you so unique as a stand-up, Neil. Because you will often come and you just do premises and you put the mic out like Robbie Williams in the audience.
And when he does, I always say to him, "You still struggle with the punchlines." And he goes, "Well, I had to put that in so they know it's
you." You know the words.
it was such a big lead-off, and I like clearly knew a bit about the movie, and then I stumbled at the last
one. In your defense, I think you were remembering that you don't know anything about David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
And that was
Or German.
Which, whereas I know everything about him, he had Knight Rider, he jumped in my car. So the thing he still struggles with, I can see why Neil struggled with it. Sorry.
Oh, no. I'm waiting. I've got the name of the film just when we're ready to name it for you. But yeah,
That'll be another five minutes.
We're brainstorming what he struggles with, like W's. I guess he struggles with human connection.
Or maybe he struggles
with soft rhymes, I would think. Like, that's what it is. Like, he's a songwriter and he struggles with doing soft rhymes. He likes hard rhymes only.
I was going to say that maybe as he's doing the speech, someone starts drowning. He goes, rescues them, comes back, and it's like... You're still a lifeguard.
You're still a TV lifeguard at heart.
Yeah, I had to throw in a drowning so they'd know.
I had to say one so they'd know it's me.
I think
Fry Brown explained it's radio. They didn't see any of that. It's dead air for a while.
Other people were drowning, but he was like, I just had to do one.
And as the wall crumbles, he goes, I'm ready to go to Brown Town.
And of course, this film is called.
Der König ist schrecklich.
Which translates into.
We got him.
The king is awful.
We got him. We got him, boys.
I'll be honest, I'm from Ireland, so it's not a big...
We got him. Yeah. Treason!
Off to the Tower of London with you, boy. Didn't see this one coming.
Das Lied der König. The King's Song.
That's beautiful.
What we're calling it, yeah.
And at the end, there'll be a bunch of captions about other things that happened in 1989 that were notable. First and foremost, a little boy named Nathan Darcy Roberts was born.
Look, if we want this film financed, we're going to have to write into it the birth of Nathan.
Well, every film I finance ends with a caption about where I was at that point in life.
You know, at the end of the King's speech, it comes up with like the information being like, the teacher and the king were friends until his death. Whatever.
Until
this
Nathan
movie comes up. Nathan Roberts started a podcast in 2024.
That plays into my narcissism. You got the green light.
Yeah,
that's a big relief. I needed that money.
Well done.
Yeah, total big release. Sorry,
you know, I flyered at the Fringe at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2012. David Hasselhoff was doing a show there, and I saw him, and I couldn't not, so I really hassled him to take a flyer. And firstly,
he
said,
"You did what to him?"
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. I kept pestering him, right, until he finally took one, and then I was delighted because I could walk away and say, "I hassled the Hoff and lived to tell the tale." That was the best summer of my life.
This is just credit saying, and that was the best summer of.
So you can tell everyone, I pestered David Hasselhoff.
Because I literally stepped on your punchline yet again. Theme of the podcast.
We're now going to do the final round, which is the punch-up, where you share an awkward incident that's happened to you. And we're going to sort of workshop it into a movie and give you closure for it.
Okay, so I was trying to think of one. And there's a lot to choose from, but I've gone for one from summer 2022, I think it was.
You were flying in Edinburgh.
I couldn't find Hasselhoff anywhere.
Peter annoyed me, was walking around.
But I was at a wedding in 2022. And I was a
was
single...
Was it mine?
The wedding woman's wife.
It was back in Cork. And I was a single boy at the time, and I got with a lady, and as we were in bed, I had to ask her to stop talking about my brother so much. So for a bit of context, growing up, my brother was a lot more popular than I was, And he's very well known around town, I would say, in Cork. And as we were, we first started making out at the wedding, and then as we were going back into the house, we just overheard someone say my brother's name, and we both stopped and went, why did you mention Breffni? And then we looked at each other and went, why did you mention Breffni? And I said, oh, I'm his brother. And she couldn't believe it, because turns out they were good friends. And she literally couldn't get over it. So while we were in bed, she kept, like, we'd be kissing and she'd pull back and she'd be like, I can't stop thinking about Breffni. please do try, because...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so go on. Can you make a movie out of it?
Yeah, it's called Every Breffni You Take.
It's someone who mentions him with every breath.
And it's a horror film.
Any questions?
It's a psychological horror from my perspective.
Yeah.
I think you realise that you're a clone. And that your brother has created several clones to smash all the puss that he just simply doesn't have time to get to.
Yeah. It's called Attack of the Clones.
Every Breffni you take.
Every Breffni you take. Smash that puss. It's awful. It's such a bad film. Genuinely.
Evil closure.
The poster is just like loads of taglines straight to the bottom.
Yeah, and Darren Aronofsky made it.
Yeah.
It's like the Being John Malkovich poster where it's like a bunch of yous and like one Breffni in the middle.
Yeah.
And I think you're probably going to find out at the end of the film that there was no Breffni like you were imagining him the whole time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but if there was no Breffni, who was she thinking about?
What was she talking about?
And it turns out it's a Fight Club scenario, and you are a figment of her imagination. She imagines not only Breffni, but you and all the other clones. And you're like, this bitch has got a limited imagination.
Yeah. And that's the only issue you have with finding out that your existence is based entirely in her imagination.
Also, I'm not sure this is, like, from my perspective, this is a better...
life?
Like, better case scenario than what actually happened.
Well, that's the twist is that you find it all out, then you wake up. And I'm sorry, but... when has a film last done the it was all a dream?
Yeah.
You find out it was all a dream and you go over to Breffni and you go, you know what? It's not so bad, you and I.
It's pretty bad because I've woken up and I'm clearly next to my brother.
And then you simply just, the end of the film is you holding your breath knee for 3 minutes and it's a world record.
And then you turn to Breffni and go, can you do that?
And then it cuts to black and a captain comes up and says, in 2022, Neil O'Rourke made the Guinness World Record.
Nathan was not at the wedding.
The soundtrack is entirely David Hasselhoff.
Yes.
And you know what's really remarkable is on the first day of filming, Vinnie Jones turned up. And he was just...
that's a powerful screed. And yeah,
has it given you closure? Were you about to green light it just then?
The first ever guest to get two movies greenlit.
I was about to say, like, there's that movie Serenity. Have you heard that word? It turns out that it's all
fascinating.
A video game.
Yeah, fascinating film. Oh. Loved it.
Yeah. Worth seeing.
It's bad. It's real
it's
bad.
Terrible. Oh, okay. One of the worst films I've ever seen.
A real great.
I was going to say it sounds terrible, but I didn't want to take it away from you.
Mm. And it sort of is I remember with a friend, we were like, let's watch this. We've heard so many bad things about it. And there's something mad about it that happens like halfway through. And then I think about 10 minutes in, I was like, I think it's a computer game. it's so heavily like.
Oh, I really want to watch it now.
Neil, thank you so much for coming in. Have you got anything you want to plug before we wrap up?
Go see Stu on tour.
Thank you. Yeah.
Finally. Favorite guest now.
I hate that level of sycophant. That's edit point. That's going. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you again next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.